All right, 3, 2, 1. How's it going, everybody? And welcome back to Nerd Stuff with Ian 2.0 podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Ian. And today, as you guys have probably already read, we're going to talk about the Morbius movie. And it's not as bad as a lot of the reviews are saying. And it's not like, oh, it's the worst Marvel movie. Like, there's some pretty bad Marvel-associated movies, to put it out there. I think, personally, I think Jared Leto wasn't bad as Morbius. I think the CGI worked pretty well for Morbius. I think there was a lot of good things that they had. The unfortunate part about it is it was just boring. You know, a lot of the action sequences, I felt like they had a chance for more. And it's just, they just didn't. And I also feel as though it's one thing that's apparent. Sony went with the wrong idea. Venom was already, like, an anti-villain or anti-hero type character. To try and make Morbius one of those as well, I get it. But Morbius doesn't have a name like Venom does. You don't see people clamoring to go read a Morbius book. Like, you don't. He needs another character to play off of. So, that was an issue. To be honest, I think if No Way Home had happened way, like, let's say a year or two before Morbius ever went into production, we potentially probably would have gotten, you know, Andrew Garfield Spider-Man involved, potentially. But with how, you know, Sony and Marvel, they're on the same page, but they're not on the same page at the same time. It's kind of weird to put it that way. And I know for fans like myself, we kind of recognize the fact it's like, okay, you know who's the real studio and mastermind. And then, you know, there's just these guys out there just being like, cool, I just want to throw something out there and see if it hits. And, I mean, for the most part, the Venom movies haven't been bad at all. I think the first one, I think it just, it showed you could do the character. The second one, I don't mind the second one as much. I think it did what it was supposed to do. But I definitely feel as though it had more that could be done with it. And that's just me. But with Morbius, like I said, it just needed something else. It needed action. It needed something to really need more action. It just needed it. It legit just needed Spider-Man. I mean, if you'd gotten, you know, whether Tom Holland or Andrew Garfield Spider-Man to be going against Morbius, I could definitely see that a lot better. It would make things more interesting. Especially with the villain just literally just being another version of Morbius. And he just has to beat that. And I felt like that was, you know, unfortunately, that's how some superhero movies go. You got to battle yourself. It's kind of like that whole, you know, idea with superhero movies. You always got to, your greatest villain has to always just be a reflection of yourself. That's the idea most of the time they go with. And, I mean, it's been pretty consistent with Sony movies. So, overall, I hate to put it this way, Morbius is just boring. It doesn't have anything else to really do anything with. And the post-credits scene when the Vulture and Morbius team up to go after Spider-Man, to me, I just didn't think it made sense. I didn't think it was something that was necessarily needed. Now, I get it. You know, you want to bring in Spider-Man's villains, some rogues gallery to add to it. But you didn't really give a payoff to why does Morbius want to go after Spider-Man? You know, did him and Spider-Man have it out? Did Spider-Man beat him? That's where I feel as though that's where it fell. If you had Andrew Garfield Spider-Man beat Morbius, like had shown up and like after Morbius's battle with his, you know, best friend. I'm not even worrying about the film because, to be honest, to spoil the film's really not that crazy. Morbius was Michael Morbius. Of course, he was diagnosed with this blood disease. He had all these, issues with his body. He looked out for vampiric bats. He finally got some, did some experiments, and it finally worked. He became Morbius, got powers. Then his friend, or his childhood friend who's had the same one, has a similar disease, also has been funding him. He gets a hold of it. Him and Morbius end up coming at odds because Morbius wants to be the good guy, while his friend wants to be the bad guy because he wants the power. And then, all hell breaks loose between the two of them, and Morbius comes up with an idea to kill him and finally puts down his best friend after, his best friend had essentially taken out his lover, essentially, but Morbius had bit her on the neck, so. And at the end of the film, you find out she's not dead, she's alive, which not a bad thing. I don't think that's bad. But now you find out he can pass those traits around. Then Morbius beats his best friend, of course. And then that's it. Tyrese is involved, but he doesn't really battle Tyrese. He doesn't really battle the cops. He's kind of just, he kills a couple mercenaries, nothing crazy, but they didn't really do enough with the character. Like, legit, that's the entire film. Just explaining it in very, like, just very quickly. That's why I feel like Spider-Man probably should have been involved. They needed a Spider-Man to kind of amp it up, to actually make the fight more entertaining. And to me, I think it would have made more sense, but I get it. They didn't know what they wanted to do. They pushed back the movie so much. They had done so many things. And unfortunately, with that being said, they just had to refigure the movie. To be honest, I don't think the Morbius movie was really something that should have come out. It wasn't really a solo Morbius film, was not really needed. I think you could have pushed that later for a solo title or just have him be teamed up. I think that's where he works better as a character. And I think that's kind of where a lot of the unfortunate aspects of trying to make big budget superhero movies kind of come up as. Not every hero is a big budget superhero film. Like, in particular, Moon Knight. I think he does way better as a TV series than I think he does as a big suit, as a big budget superhero movie. Because he adds a extra character to a movie when he's put in. Same thing with Daredevil or Luke Cage or, them doing the Falcon the Winter Soldier story. There is the ability to make it episodic that I think benefited it compared to being a big budget film that the story can be crammed down a little too much and it hurts more than helps. So that's why I feel like for a guy like Morbius, he needs another character to bounce off of. He needs a superhero to bounce off of. So you feel sympathetic. So you felt like at the end of the day, if let's say Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man was there, you'd be like, okay, I understand Andrew Garfield's trying to prove he's innocent, trying to prove Michael Morbius' innocence, but he's also could be potentially just as bad as the guy he's trying to stop. And you bring in that sort of compelling story where you feel for the character, but at the same time you also know he could be just as bad as anything else. And there's a lot of potential Sony has. I think if I'm Sony, we saw how successful Spider-Man No Way Home was. We saw how much people really appreciate Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. And I think if you actually get good writers behind it to stay with a consistent idea, and the idea is we're building back up to another crossover, and you're kind of doing a, I don't want to say, I don't want to, well, there's a particular Spider-Geddon story where that's kind of where like the Spider-Man getting killed off, something like that, particularly the live action ones, or you're just leading up to just a crossover between the two again. That's where your idea should be. Of course, you have some Spider-Man villains you don't cross over that don't come into the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man universe, and then there's others that, for the the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man universe that don't cross over into the Tom Holland one until they fully cross. And then you merge universes, you do what should be properly done, and give, you know, Tom Holland a way bigger roster. At the end of the day, that would be the idea and the game plan. At the end of the day, to me, I think it makes more sense. It benefits the character. And if done right, if you have characters being written well, you can still make double the money on the same character. You have one where you're making hand over foot for your particular Spider-Man. As long as you actually craft a great story, you're good. And then you build up to a crossover. That would be the game plan. Sony be able to double dip. Marvel will be like, cool, let's, you know, we want to have both sides in it. And then if Marvel wants to, you know, be like, hey, we want a little more influence on your Sonyverse, or the Venomverse is what they're kind of pushing right now, they can. Marvel can fully come in and help make the stories better. There's just a lot of potential to fix. And there's a lot of potential for sequels to make their stories not feel clunky and not feel like, oh man, I'm going to see a Sony movie versus, oh yes, I'm going to see a Marvel, or I'm going to see an MCU movie. Like, there's the big differences. You hear Sony's Marvel movies, you're like, oh, this is probably going to be bad, versus like an MCU Marvel movie, you're like, okay, cool, like this is probably going to be exciting, it has some importance. As long as they're able to refocus that, then they're good. But that's just kind of my thought. I know, especially with Sony, with their whole idea of they want to do the Sinister Six. Screw trying just to build up your villain movies to it. Just do the Sinister Six. Like, introduce the characters, show them off, have where, you know, of course, Spider-Man's beaten the Rhino. And I would do another Rhino, because I wouldn't even use the mechanized one for Amazing Spider-Man 2. I think the Lizard's still around. You got him to play with. You have the Lizard. You have Venom. Morbius. Technically, Vulture's in that weird space, but I would kind of pluck Vulture out. You have Kraven. I'd replace him with Kraven. And then, of course, come up with two other characters you really want to play with. You know, in that regard. And I think that'd be perfect. Because you're not going to use Doc Ock or Green Goblin, because Sam Raimi trilogy already did it. And they already did that in No Way Home. So your game plan now needs to be like, okay, where can I pivot and get a good roster? And one way to pivot it, and I think would be interesting, would be Mr. Negative. He'd be an interesting one for Sony to pull in. And because technically, if I look at the MCU, the MCU's got Vulture. Mysterio, they can reuse again. Because it's not like it died with Quentin Beck. Realistically, you can bring Mysterio back without Quentin Beck. He can fake have died or whatever. Really mess with Peter's life. You can do a lot with that. You have Chameleon, Scorpion. So you've got four right there. I'm trying to think two more. I would preferably, if I'm the MCU, I would actually want the Hobgoblin. Because I think that would make it things a little more interesting for Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Get the Hobgoblin, and then for number six, who'd be a good sixth member? Well, they do have the Shocker. Technically, they can make the Shocker. So yeah, you can technically do your six for Tom Holland, and then do your six with Andrew Garfield. You could literally play both if you really want to, and do like their crossover movie called The Sinister 12 or something like that, where you bring them in. Or, If you really want to get ballsy with the after this whole multiversal reset, you do introduce Doc Ock. You do introduce, a new Norman Osborn. You give those villains that chance, and you kind of wipe the slate clean of any, Sony stuff, or you leave it with Venom. At that end, you have Andrew Garfield Spider-Man Go. There's just a lot of things I think they have the ability to play with and do. And I think that coming from the idea and looking at Spider-Man comics and reading them and really thinking of what would work best for the characters and how to get the most viewers and people in seats, that would be your best way to go. That's just me. You build that up a little bit. And I mean, they've already shown you can do, five villains in a Spider-Man movie, but you need to balance it well. You need to play it up. And it wasn't even like there were really five villains. It was kind of like Peter, if you really think about what John Watts and them did, they just had where Peter was trying to redeem the villains. He was trying to help the villains that the other Spider-Man killed off or defeated. Like, that was it. He really wasn't even trying to, fight him like he would in the comic books. So you still have a chance to bring in a legit Sinister Six if that's what you want to do. But overall, I know I've really left Morbius behind, and there's a reason for it. Like I said, it's pretty boring. It's not the worst film. I think Jared Leto portrayed Morbius very well. I don't think he was a bad choice. I just think you had a poor script that unfortunately will forever get outshined by what the potential of what we saw with Spider-Man No Way Home. I think if Marvel and Sony had a real idea for, like, hey, what do we want to do for your villains? Like, we want to use them. I guarantee you, Sony would be like, cool, you want to use Morbius? Cool, you want to use Venom? Cool, you want to use, Rhino, you want to use whoever, they would let that happen. Yeah, they'd probably get a premium on the front, but they would let that go because at the end of the day, it makes them money. They've already shown Spider-Man No Way Home, thanks to MCU, made them buco bucks. So why not trust it a little more and let them play with it? I know they're still doing the Disney Plus Spider-Man Freshman Year series. They've got a couple things. And in all honesty, I would like to see a more focus up. Now, I could easily see where Sony goes, why don't we just kind of keep some of these Spider-Man characters over here? And Marvel being like, cool, maybe we separate it out. They left it ambiguous, so this way, maybe Tom Holland does get sent to another, is in that Sony verse where they help them out and they set all that stuff. You could potentially set it up. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's still going to be stuck in the MCU or still in the MCU. I don't think they're going to pull him out of that. But that's just me. So, with that being said, thank you guys for listening. As always, you guys can find me on Anchor, Podbean, wherever you listen to your podcasts, as well as you guys can find me on Facebook and Twitter, or Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nerd Stuff with Ian. And you guys can also, email me at nerdstuffwithian@gmail.com. And with that being said, thank you guys for listening and have a great day. Later.